Hello and welcome back to the Inverted Castle, a Metroidvania enthusiast podcast. I am a church boy who goes to church and reads his Bible, Eric Fox, and tempting me to sin as always is a man who makes guilt look good, Mr. Tom Blight.
Eric, burn them all.
Okay, leprechaun on my shoulder, I'll get right on it. But first, listeners, we have a confession to make. We have indulged in the devil's ludus. That's right, we played Blasphemous, a game served up hot and fresh by The Game Kitchen and released or published by Team 17 in 2019. It's a game that features brutal difficulty and brutal violence both outward and towards the self, as well as featuring a lot of the most, let's say, violent Christian iconography, we'll say.
Christian Gnosticism, or I don't know.
Listen, it's a mix of that as well as apparently some Spanish artistry. They got a lot of inspiration from around where they lived because the developers are Spanish. But yeah, Blasphemous. It's it certainly has a vibe.
Yeah, they are committed to the Christian guilt.
Boy, howdy. Guilt, violence, blood, gold, bones, flesh. These are all things that happen and are common themes, we'll say. Overall, how'd you find the game? This would have been your second time around.
Yeah, I mean, this is my second time around. I didn't actually finish it this time around. I wish I had spent more time with it because I had a lot of fun just replaying to about halfway through.
Okay.
And I remember it very fondly from the first time that I played it. Some things are a little impenetrable.
Yeah.
Definitely some of that, I guess I just had to Google it kind of stuff going on there.
A few guide dang it moments for getting side quests complete. This is also a game with a lot of lore. Every item collectible has a respective, journal entry of sorts. All still, laid out in the same kind of heavily gravitased kind of old proselytizing speech of various characters who you never meet.
Yeah, their world building is great. I mean, it's one of those things where, they've actually kind of given themselves an excuse for things not to make sense.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like it's internally consistent in that pretty much everything is caused by the miracle punishing you in some kind of ironic way.
Yeah.
And yeah, you should think about what you've done.
Yeah, I'm not someone who reads all of the journal entries, so as far as the overall narrative, I wouldn't say I know all of the proper nouns, but the tone of the story and how it's all presented is very thematically consistent in a way that really I really enjoyed the vibes of just everything being terrible and it being your fault, or if not your fault, you're still going to suffer for it. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of what my point was there. the brutal difficulty kind of factors into that as well.
Yeah, the brutal difficulty kind of fits with the whole penance thing, right?
Right.
It's punishing. You're going to get angry, but that's just your sin coming out. I don't know. I'm being weird.
Yeah. I did not enjoy this game overall, I would say. It's a very much a land of contrast, but at the very least, I'm saying thematically consistent for when I got legitimately mad at the game at points. But how it's presented, and even though I'm not following all of the internal world building consistent bits of it, every time someone comes in and lays out some great names for great things in this pompous proselytizing, I know someone who gets up on the Pope bench or whatever and starts talking about something I don't understand, but at least they've got some great names. The thing that makes the world bad, we should probably start getting into the story here a bit. It's the grievous miracle.
Yeah.
And you are the penitent one, and you fight things like Chrysanta of the Rapt Agony.
Yeah.
You get blood perpetuated in sand. That's one of the relics you get, and it's just an ability.
Yeah. I guess also we should talk about the relics. But there are definitely a lot of proper nouns and a lot of epithets. I'm sorry, I'm terrible at saying that word.
Yeah, epithets, like tons of them. One of the main collectibles is just people's bones, and the bones all have names attached to them. Yeah, no, there's a lot of flavor, as long as the flavor you like is blood.
Describing the story of this game is actually kind of hard beyond...
just broad strokes, because again, that's all I understand is the broad strokes, but it kind of sets the context for when you're what you're actually getting here.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you know Metroidvanias, then you know that, oh yeah, this is the remnants of a once great civilization now in its doom.
Yeah.
Perpetuated by the Grievous Miracle, which is basically both the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah. It's very, like... getting a little theological, it's God the omnipotent and omniscient knows you will sin, but still creates you and allows you to sin, kind of thing. And then gives you an ironic punishment for that sinning, which it created you knowing full well that you would do. I don't know, they're just like capturing the like weird like self-flagellation of Christian worship, I guess.
Yeah, everyone's just kind of indulging in that, like, no, we are all such lesser beings and we deserve the punishment we're getting. Like, that's what, like, a lot of the NPCs you'll run into is just like, no, this is cool and good. And you're also getting right to the heart of why I would consider myself no longer of the faith. But that's probably too personal for what we're doing here. But rather...
I mean, you can make it as personal as you want to make it.
Exactly, and that's why I'm transitioning directly to the player character, the penitent one, who at the start of the game basically gets his cool sword, which was a statue that is at first depicted by, I assume, just a nameless woman just like punishing herself in guilt by repeatedly like thumping it against her sternum until she gets her wish, which is the Grievous Miracle turning into a sword that impales her.
Yeah.
You pick it up. It's your sword. It is called Mea Culpa, getting all into that guilt,
yes.
Responsibility, all that good stuff. And you are the last of the Silent Brotherhood, as far as I'm aware. And yeah, you have the big conical hat with barbed wire on it filled with blood. And the game begins of you basically going and proving yourself to the Grievous Miracle in a way, like slaying certain bosses that are like... When I say bosses, I'm just like, I don't know if they're already sinners or if they're just challenges put in front of you. They're great fun, but again, the greater lore implications, no idea.
Yeah, so I like my understanding of it is that there basically was a point where there was almost a rapture-like event where everyone's guilt starts to manifest in the real world, right? That's when Mea Culpa turns into a sword, right? And all of this stuff happens, essentially. So, like, everyone is transformed by this in some way. The penitent one is, for some reason, only rendered mute. And that's, like, the excuse for basically all weird things to be around is, well, it's someone's messed up guilt punishment.
Yeah, I think it's related to, like, what eventually becomes the final boss, who's, like... the High Father Escribar of the Turned Throne. Great names.
Yeah.
But yeah, he kind of, at some point in the past, said, oh, the gods have abandoned us and guilt sucks, actually. And then everyone gets punished.
Hmm.
Something along those lines. Again, yeah. Take this with monstrous grains of purified salt.
Yeah, I don't know. And also, I gotta say, the first cutscene that you see, I feel like... went way more hardcore than the rest of the game. I guess the takedowns are incredibly brutal.
Yeah, you'll occasionally do effectively Mortal Kombat style fatalities on just random enemies, and they are sadistic in a way that is not, I would not say, Christ-like.
Yeah, they have an interesting view of, I guess, what should be guilt-worthy and what is apparently part of atonement, since your currency is obtaining tiers of atonement from when you kill enemies.
Yeah. Souls, gold, smackers, whatever you want to call it. That's how you buy things, with other people's tears.
Yeah.
Wild. But yeah, no, the broad strokes is you keep killing stuff that are ostensibly holy or holy related. A skull with melted gold on in front of it tells you good job, keep going, until you eventually reach the highest point and confront Escribar. You know, if you overtake him, then you get the chance to prove yourself, either by running into the pile of ash and helmets that look like yours, and that's the bad ending. You don't have enough guilt.
Yeah.
Or you complete a bunch of obscure side objectives where you essentially break like a resource of yours.
The statues are called confessor statues, right? And so essentially you go to the confession booth, but you actually could be breaking those confession booths and doing a wave of enemies. And then it wasn't actually very clear to me how this is supposed to be contributing to the final ending.
I believe that you're essentially taking on all of the guilt that they have and basically like consolidating it all into yourself. And then you become the next son of the miracle.
Yeah.
If you have the most amount of guilt possible.
Yeah, it's weird.
And then there's a third ending added via DLC that I think is only New Game Plus available, where you attack and dethrone God. And then there's a little teaser for what I assume Blasphemous 2 gets into.
I have not actually gone through the third ending.
You confront the High Will, which is more or less God, and you cut its faces off. And then you are buried, but then from the sky, a giant heart appears, and there's a dude in the heart, and then it fades to black.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it makes as much sense to me as it does to you. All throughout this, there's just like a bunch of NPCs that are all on their own journeys of atonement. The dude that stares at the path because he has a weight around his neck. There's a lady who's chained through her flesh in one room that you can potentially put her out of her misery or do a bonus side quest for a spell.
Mm.
No one's having a good time in this world.
Yeah.
Called Custodia, just for the record.
But yeah, I guess we should actually talk about gameplay a little.
Gameplay's the biggest focus in this by a large margin.
I mean, we talked about the absolving guilt. That's actually the death punishment corpse run-esque mechanic of, rather than losing your money when you die, you are going to get a little bit of your magic power taken away. For each death, there will be multiple tombstones if you die more than once. You have to go collect all of them.
It keeps taking away a chunk of your maximum MP, in a sense. It's called fervor because everything has to be themed, but it's essentially just fuel for your magic spells.
Yes. Your prayers, which is magic spells.
Yes. And yeah, each one takes away more of that, as well as I believe it lowers the amount of tiers of atonement or money you get from killing stuff until you absolve your guilt.
Maybe. I don't look very much at the number. It just goes up when you kill people. And
this was listed on the wiki, so blame the Blasphemous wiki if this is incorrect information.
I don't know. I'm sure they know what they're doing.
Certainly more than me. But yeah, instead of doing the corpse run back to where you died, you could also visit those confessor statues and just pay a fee to wipe it all away. They can take your guilt instead.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this is a side-scrolling platformer slash hack and slashy type thing. You've got a bunch of abilities at the start, and those are effectively most of what you get. You can upgrade some things, but for the most part, yeah, you got your standard sword combos. You got a parry dash. You can actually, if you hold the dash button in the air and hit something with your sword, you get a little boost. Not quite the Hollow Knight sword hop, but, you know.
Yeah, I feel like that explained it differently than I remembered it being.
Oh?
Where I feel like I remember holding down to do the little sword hop while swinging horizontally in the air. And then I was like, but the tutorial said use the dash button. I'm confused.
Holding down would definitely create a problem because one of the optional upgrades for just your combat
is... Sorry, it's tapping down while you're attacking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because holding down is like a ground pound type attack, and that's the opposite of what you want.
Yeah, and I guess other than your like immediate combat abilities and the prayers, the sort of elephant in the room that we should talk about is some people don't like the relics. So the relics are essentially what replaces gaining traversal abilities.
Yeah.
It's very key-like. And I guess the other complaint people have about it is that apparently you can complete the game without ever equipping a relic.
Yes, they are all entirely optional. Like we all know as habitual gamers is that optional content is a fake idea. Obviously, it's all necessary. But there's definitely a sense of the traversal things you get from the relics don't feel impactful, and they don't come at the appropriately at a place you would expect it to. Like you beat a like major boss or like several major bosses in a row, and your ability to get around places is not at all augmented.
Yeah.
Instead, these it's all these like side, like, oh, you find a key in one place to open up a door in somewhere else, and oh, you just have it now. And because it's all optional stuff, and because what they are, like there's seven of them, really only four make a difference, where you have like one that's just, oh, you can get extra lore and puzzle hints from dead corpses. Cool. One is a chime that says, oh, there's a secret here. Also useful. Not an exploration boost in that sense. And then you got like, oh, if there's a poison area, now you can explore it. That's essentially a key. Mm-hmm. There is the one that spawns platforms where you can kind of see a little red haze. Well, now you can make them actual platforms and get places.
Yeah.
Essentially a key.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one that lets you fall into pits where instead of it killing you instantly, we'll get to that. It will transport you into whatever room is below it, which is useful and can unlock certain things, but also could theoretically like, oh, this is the ass end of nowhere. I may as well have died. But interesting. Probably the most interesting one of the bunch, just because of how it like opens up like explorable areas of what used to be instant death is now another path. Cool. A plus. Gotta give it to that one. And then there's one where you can jump out of swamps.
It's useful.
It is useful. It just felt like weird that like there's like one thing that it actually unlocks in the whole game.
Yeah, I think that one's technically the most traversal ability in that it's like that's basically the gravity suit.
Exactly. But for like one spot, and otherwise it's just like, okay, yeah, now swamps are kind of easier.
I can think of at least two items that it would let you get.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I guess that's the thing, is that all of these are just like getting you to more items, more optional areas, not actually things that are getting you to the end of the game. I don't actually have a problem with that. There's some people who go so far to say is this is not a Metroidvania because of that.
I would not say that. Like I would say like even if you took out the relics entirely and like none of them blocked anything, this would still be a Metroidvania. I just think it sucks.
That's fair. It's certainly if you're looking, like, if the appeal of Metroidvania is, hey, I'm going to get a cool ability that recontextualizes the map, this is not the game for you.
No, it is just, oh, now I've got the one thing that now makes this other thing unlocked. But it doesn't make any of the other platforming puzzles and challenges in any way different. Anytime you're going back to old places is essentially the same, other than, oh, swamps are kind of easier now.
Did we forget the one that makes the plants grow?
We did forget the one that makes the plants grow. Also effectively the same.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's five.
I don't know. So after I said that stuff about recontextualizing the map, in a way, the fall down pits one and get to a new area does recontextualize the map. It's just not that interesting of like, there's not a lot of agency in applying it. It's just, oh God, where was everywhere there was a pit that I could fall in? I've got to go find them now and jump down them.
That's the one I don't have a problem with. That's the one I would love to see more of. All of the other ones just don't have the impact. And like part of the appeal of these is that kind of catharsis of exploring old areas. Yes, you're more powerful to an extent, and so the enemies don't pose as much of a problem, but I'm still doing the same stuff like the same jumping puzzle, the same, like everything's still like the same amount of danger. It just, going through old areas just felt tedious instead of a, now I can just blaze through these and I can't exactly just turn my brain off and just think about, okay, what I'm doing next, what my goals are, because if I stop thinking about what I'm doing, I'll run into a pit or spikes and then I'm just dead. And yeah. Then you go back to your last save point. And who knows when that is? You got to keep up as you're exploring through, because otherwise checkpointing sucks. And then you also have to go back to where you were just were to absolve your guilt or spend money. It's just a lot of pain points. And again, thematically appropriate. Man, they made you feel bad about fucking up. It is my fault. But of course, it's my fault. But the punishment.
I guess the other thing is, I think this was a New Game Plus area. Did you get to go to an area called Memories of Salt, which was like ships and zombies made of mud or some sort, or sand?
In the background?
No, like that was the enemies that would appear, as like mud would lift up a helmet.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a DLC area. I went there.
Okay, because some of these complaints at least get mitigated by the prayer that you get there, which lets you go back to your checkpoint without dying.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I abused the hell out of that when I was doing my cleanup.
I was like, wait, was this a thing that I only had access to because of New Game Plus? Because that would have sucked. Although I guess I did the full game without it, because Memories of Salt was not in the game when I played for the first time.
That was a DLC thing, which, you know, all the DLC was, I believe, just effectively updates to the game. I don't think anyone paid for it, but if you played the original release, I don't believe you had access to that.
Yeah,
which is very useful. I did screw up once by forgetting the last checkpoint I had been at, and so went back further than I wished, but again, my fault, mea culpa. Yeah, no, a very frustrating traversal, but I think combat is better when it's when that's the focus. I think the at the very least boss battles, 201, very fun to fight.
Yeah, my one complaint about boss battles is that early on, how exactly the dash slide thing actually works is a little unclear.
What do you mean? What were you expecting?
Especially early, it's hard to tell if you're actually supposed to be able to get past a boss that has not like jumped up without taking damage, or like I don't know. I certainly remember with like the first major boss, the one in Mercy Dreams, just being like, I can't tell if I'm supposed to be able to slide past this without getting hurt, because I am sometimes doing it and sometimes not.
Yeah, I believe when it raises its one leg, then it's like a small enough hitbox to get past, but otherwise, even though you probably have the space from the start of the dash to the end to get past it, like, yeah, it's not consistent. And yeah, your options there are either that or try and parry, but some things are just unparryable.
Yeah, although even the unparryables will just send you sliding backwards, right?
I believe if it's like elemental, like a fireball, it still hurts you, but maybe I was just bad at timing.
Maybe I just never bothered parrying those ones.
It seemed like a bad idea, and I did get hit, so, you know, yeah, but
okay. The parry is actually quite generous in terms of when you can opt into parrying. It essentially has no startup time. There is no need to wait for an animation to finish, right? Like, you can animation cancel directly into the parry.
Yeah, like, it's a panic option if you've kind of overextended yourself a bit and are about to get hit, but as a caveat to that, it's not universally useful, because usually you'd think in a parry game is you parry their attack and then they're open and you can punish, but only very few attacks are actually like, if you manage to like deflect it, do you get the riposte as far as bosses are concerned.
Yeah, that's true.
Like standard enemies, they're fine.
Yeah, it's basically just the human-sized bosses. And even then, not all of the attacks.
I found a lot more success actually dash attacking and doing like the fourth hit, like the four hit combo. The fourth hit does so much more damage than your standard swipes, and then using the parry as a defensive option. But it's not as graceful a game as, say, like what you would imagine like a two-dimensional Sekiro to be, which is the only parry game that I can think of at the moment.
I mean, I would kind of call Unsighted a parry game. I don't know.
That's true. Unsighted is a game where, yeah, every boss can be parried, but you have to, like, parry several times in a row before they become, like, dazed. And then it's just a general, oh, next hit is bonus damage. And this game has a distinct riposte, which is only situationally useful. But there's a, I would say, a fair degree of variation in the bosses.
Yeah.
Thematically, these are all giant paintings come to life of a very specific artistic style. There's a baby boss. You don't actually hurt the baby directly, but it will hurt you and hurt you bad. It has a command grab. I don't know if you remember this thing.
I don't actually remember the command grab.
Okay, like you're fighting this other, like, I think it's like a snake, like a wooden thing in the foreground, but then there's like the baby who is like a blindfold or something. But like,
In
the way a child does, where it just kind of like fiddles around with something in its hands and pulls it apart, it pulls you apart in a very just disturbing sense of like it doesn't know what it's doing. But it's so brutal how dead you are in the hands of this baby. And then if you defeat the snake boss, it just starts crying and then falls and, like, you know, disappears off screen. Baby's fine, probably.
Yeah, probably.
It's a giant baby. But yeah, there's that. There's like the Kraken type thing, which is, I think, is a DLC boss. Various horrors and like a sarcophagus of like many hands just holding up a skeleton man, and then various human sized, like, basically you're doing mirror matches, but they have slightly different abilities.
Yeah, actually one of the funny things about the mirror matches is that you can skip the boss battle by finding a certain item, but it was like, but wait, do I actually want to skip a boss battle?
Are you talking about Esdras?
Yeah,
that's how you get the third DLC ending.
Well, I was heading to the DLC ending, apparently.
Yeah, that's the thing where I believe it's New Game Plus only, you have to get to a certain area. Maybe it's possible without, where you find his sister's grave. And it's a whole side quest chain of, you find that, and that lets you skip his boss battle, and then you go to a bunch of different places, and then there's extended boss fights later in the game. And that's how you eventually attack and dethrone God later.
Yeah, I just thought it was strange going through that a second time, being like, wait, I don't remember these things. And also, I kind of wanted to fight this boss. It was one of the funner ones. I don't know.
Yeah, it's an all right boss fight, as someone who did, and because I didn't know that I was missing out on stuff, or if I even could have skipped it in my regular old new game run. Yeah, it's one of the things where you can absolutely lock yourself out of that ending or various side quests by just making certain choices. So completionists, be wary. This one absolutely requires two full playthroughs, because they're also like side quests that are only available in New Game Plus.
And definitely some mutually exclusive endings in terms of like getting two NPCs in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
Then locks off the getting one of them to actually complete their quest properly kind of thing.
You'll miss it on prayers, various rewards. It's a whole thing. This is not a game that's going to hold your hand in anything. not to understand its story, not to play through the game. If you die, you die for real. And sorry. Actually, one of the DLCs is a like a crossover thing with Bloodstained. Completely separate, but I assume you did you engage with this at all?
I only engaged with it in one spot that I found.
Probably the best approach to that one.
You don't like it?
So this one is the main character from Bloodstained, Miriam, shows up and says, help me out, do these timed platforming challenges. And the first couple are pretty fun. But then by the end, the platforming like system of this game really outwears its welcome and requires, I don't know. I had a lot of problems consistently getting on and off ladders.
I definitely have that problem too occasionally with like the ladders are you jump at it and then attack. And then somehow you can time it poorly, so you just do a regular swing instead of actually stabbing your sword into the ladder.
Oh, I'm not even talking about that. That's also a problem.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, you're talking about the regular ladders.
I'm talking about just regular-ass ladders, not the sides of the wall where you, like, cling to it like that, where if you're in, hit, like, if you just got hit, you can no longer stab into things. So like there are lots of fireballs in these platforming challenges. And then like I think I should be able to hit it, but fucked up.
Yeah.
But no, ladders in general, if I'm not hitting directly up, not left and up, just up, I just soar right past it. And these are like 3 to 4 minutes long of consistent race against the clock. It was frustrating, and the reward is just a single spell that I never used.
And like some of it was also just like moving platforms that require you to wait, and like you don't have the freedom of movement that say Pseudo Regalia has, where like you could figure out a way to skip the wait, right? This is like waiting for this platform to move is the fastest I could possibly be going right now, as far as I can tell.
Uh-huh. And you're also never sure how close you're cutting it. Like, did I need to make the previous cycle? And now I'm just waiting, and you have to wait every time. And then there's, again, just instant death everywhere if you fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. The timer wasn't that big of a deal, as it turns out. It was just getting to the end.
That was another thing that was not around when I was playing it the first time.
Yeah, I get what they're going for. It's definitely like a different thing than the rest of the game really challenged you on. I just think it was not its strength and ended up contributing to a lot of like the bad tastes that still reside within my mouth. This is a game that I really wish I liked more.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, like as I'm talking through a bunch of these, like all I can think of is like all the things where I just felt more frustrated. I definitely rage quit a couple of times when I was just doing like cleanup and fell into a pit or the spikes and thought, I'll come back.
Meanwhile, I'm just going through being like, la 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 la, suffering is fun.
Yeah, well, I wonder what that says about us.
I don't know.
And I don't value my time. We know this. I play JRPGs. I play the Tales games. It's not about self-respect. Maybe it just caught me at a bad time.
I don't know. I get it. It's definitely like pits like that are pretty rare, right? Like most things take the Hollow Knight approach of, hey, if I'm going to have some kind of spike hazard, it's going to hurt you and then put you back to the platform near it.
Yeah, beginning of the room. That's what I was used to. And it just felt so galling to say no. Back to your last save.
I mean, the only other somewhat recent one that I can think that didn't really do that is in Ori. I felt like it. So the spikes wouldn't kill you instantly, but it was pretty likely in Ori. If you hit the spikes, you were probably going to hit them again before you escaped.
Yeah, but didn't that one also have, like, you can pop down a checkpoint at will?
It's true. It did. If you have the mana.
If you have the mana, but it did have a mechanic around that, which I don't think I was super hot on at the time, but now I have more context, and I think, hey, it's better.
It's better than this.
Yeah, no, it just felt too much. Like, I also kind of, I think it, like, Dark Souls does the same thing, but they also more rarely put you in situations of do some platforming, but it also sucks there. Like, I'm not, that's not a perfect game.
I mean, if they made you platform and killed you all the time, right? Like, jumping in Dark Souls has never been good. It got better in later games, but it was still always awful. I guess Elden Ring jumping is not as much of a problem.
They finally gave it a button.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of that more slow-paced and also like just learning patterns and stuff. Blasphemous, I was still getting hit by continuing to hold left through a screen transition and forgetting, like, oh, this ledge has one step before I die.
Yeah, but like I wonder if it's like, so you have a little bit more platforming agency compared to like Dark Souls, but that just makes the developer feel like they can put these instant death challenges in there and it won't feel controller throwingly hard every time.
Yeah, and I'm overselling this a bit. It's like not like a constant, like, oh, I'm so mad, like I'm playing I Want to Be the Guy circa 2007. It's just when it went bad, when it wasn't like, if I'm exploring a new area, that was more or less like, okay, there's some tension here. I'll be careful. I won't just drop down to a place that I don't know is there. I can understand the wanting to build tension in that way. When I'm going back, because this is a Metroidvania, and I'm forgetting that, like, oh, I assume hopping down there is safe because I've explored that map square. And, oh, wait, no, there's spikes.
Yeah.
it's just one of the things where it's this game works better as like a straight shot, but trying to get everything, it was punishing me for wanting more. Well, I could go into New Game Plus and check out some new things, but I'm already having a miserable time squeezing blood from this stone. I'm good. I'll just look it up. And so I did.
Fair.
At the very least, internally consistent. There is a certain type of sicko that loves this game, that loves all the bespoke, brutal, bloody, violent finishers. They'll get it for every enemy type in the game. But that ain't me, dog. I play real fighting games.
Shots fired.
I don't need to be mean. What am I doing? I don't care. And now I just defaulted to like riling people up. MK fans are out there, I'm sure. Anyway, as the more positive person on this podcast, anything you want to mention that's good?
I mean, like I had a good time with it. I didn't care about some of the gruesomeness. Like, I don't know. It's an interesting aesthetic. I wasn't that grossed out by it, but I also, I don't know, it's not my cup of tea necessarily. I was there for the rest of the aesthetic going on there.
Yeah, yeah. Aesthetically, it's no real criticisms there. Definitely requires a content warning, but beyond that, that's not where my hang-ups lie.
Yeah, like, give me that, like, blinged-out skeletal bishop.
Hell yeah. Give me the weirdo that sits in the bone dust and wants bones.
Yeah.
Musically, anything standing out?
I remember it being fairly atmospheric and like fitting the atmosphere, but also can't actually recall very much of the music at all.
Yeah, well, like I think it's still is all wrapped up in aesthetic. Still, at a certain point, we have to just admit to ourselves that we are not people who are well equipped to like judge like it on its like own merits so much as how it makes us feel.
Yeah.
And if it like is particularly like jarring, like if it doesn't fit or gets too repetitive, rote or annoying. But no, this one was always that if you imagine what you would want to play in a church setting as you carve up tons of dudes, it's that.
I mean, like, that's art, man. Art is always about how it makes you feel.
Yeah, well, we're here to like actually like bring a definitive answer to what's the best art. And the only way to do that is to rank it among its peers. So, hey, Tom, how's that for a transition to our stack rank?
I like it. I like it a lot. yeah, I have a feeling that you and I are going to be very different on this. Because okay. It sounds like it really ground you down by the end of it.
Yeah, like I'm trying to like think like, okay, it's not a terrible game by any stretch. I did have fun in the... Not 80% of the game, maybe 70. I don't know. Anyway, what were you thinking?
I'm thinking it's funny, right? This is a list of games I had fun with. I'm not going to be like, it's not Metroidvania enough. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's not even factoring into me either.
I would like you to know that I like puffed off my chest and shook my shoulders. I don't know why.
Do a little shimmy? Are you tempting me to sin again?
I don't know who this is that I think I'm mimicking. Some kind of Metroidvania aristocrat.
Aristocrat who's like a little sultry? Like, ooh. No. I have dangerous opinions about video games.
I was thinking pompous, but...
Okay.
Not sultry, but...
don't kink shame me.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked it a fair amount. I think I'm looking at somewhere above Guacamelee, which for me is currently number 13.
Okay.
But I don't have that strong of a reason for this. I wish I had actually had the time and gone and finished it.
But you have finished it.
Yeah, I finished it the first time, but like gone and finished it the second time through, and maybe then I would be like... Going through the very beginning of it again, I was like, oh man, this is great. Maybe there would have been a point where I got tired of it. I don't know.
Ironically, having played it less than you, I am still the one who is just over it. And the grizzled old man.
I see. And where is over it going on the stack rank for you, grizzled old man?
So the aesthetic and just the like the vibes I'm getting, and a pretty decent combat system is doing quite a bit for it. However, like I'm looking at Chasm, which is 21 currently, and I think I'm going to put this just slightly better than it under Gato Roboto, which is a game that is just like one I can more readily like recommend to basically anyone that I didn't have as many caveats for. I think this game is doing a lot of things that is cool in terms of how it's presented, but it also hated me too much, and I've got to just respond in kind.
Coincidentally, I also put it just below Gato Roboto, but Blasphemous and Gato Roboto are both much higher for me.
We're weirdly consistent in inconsistent ways. But yeah, it's my new number 21 out of 34. Wow, we're really racking these up there, huh?
Yeah, we're getting up there. Our podcast is old now.
Yeah, well, we started old and it's only getting worse. But I think we should probably add a 35th one. Do you have any ideas for that?
I do, although this feels like going back to the same well, but it's things that released recently. I have another Kickstarted game that released.
You've just been doling out money for games that, if it wasn't for this, if you didn't have some sort of, like, excuse, you wouldn't play these.
I don't even do it that much. It's just coincidentally that I guess I did it, like, twice in quick succession a couple of year, like some period of time ago, and now it's coming to fruition. I don't know.
Yeah, like Chasm. I don't know why I said it like that. Absence of Light. I'm sure you've kickstarted other games as well.
Did I kickstart Chasm? I don't think I did. Although I had played it at PAX before it
released. Oh, that might have been it. But yeah, I feel like this whole project is just an excuse to finally get through your, like,
my backlog.
Your financially induced backlog.
I mean, a little bit. There's definitely a, like, I should buy this game. We'll play it for the podcast eventually. I mostly don't. At some point, I have to go through everything that I got in, like, itch.io bundles.
Oh, man.
And okay, be like, yeah, Hey, that's one that I want to play that I don't need to buy again. But, so the game is Rebel Transmute.
I've never heard of this in my life. Yeah, that sounds like a Kickstarter game you'd support.
I mean, it came out this month.
This month being March of 2024?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's recent.
Hot off the presses.
I've got it on Switch, so I'll be playing it there.
I'll find it in like a back alley. I know a guy who knows a guy. It's in at someone's. Okay, cool.
I think this one is a little more well marketed compared to Absence of Light.
And this one's more standard fare. It's not like, oh, it's a Metroidvania mixed with some other genre.
Well, it calls itself a Metroidvania with heart, and I don't remember what that means.
As opposed to fire, wind, etc.
Yes, Captain Planet.
Cool. All right. So yeah, Rebel Transmute.
Yep.
Sounds groovy. Well, you too can be a rebel by defying the odds and actually leaving a comment on our YouTube page at Inverted Castle Podcast, I believe, is the YouTube page.
Yep.
Or emailing us at invertedcastlepodcast@gmail.com. We are, of course, on Twitter/X, but we all know it's Twitter. At Inverted Castle P. Never forget the P. Anything I'm missing that is relevant?
You can find us on Facebook and Mastodon. Maybe at some point I'll open a Blue Sky. Who knows? I stopped using Threads, apparently.
In any case, I think that's it for us. I've been Eric Fox.
And I've been Thomas Blight.
And remember, kids, only you can find the fun in fundamentalist orthodoxy.